Now, it is Friday, as I just said, and that means it's actually almost the end of Include a Charity Week. It's a week all about encouraging Australians to leave a gift in their will to a charity, which is a beautiful idea. But what about the way we interact with charities and not-for-profit sectors while we're still alive? Now, the Giving Australia study found some very interesting bits of information about the way we volunteer and the way we're participating and the way we're donating. Associate Professor Wendy Scaife is the director of the Australian Centre for Philanthropy and Non-Profit Studies, and was the lead on the aforementioned study. Wendy, a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, what did we find out about the way people are participating with charities?
Well, it's interesting, Nick. We did this study 10 years ago, so we've been able to find a couple of the trends. So we found that whilst still a good portion of Australians, about 4 out of 5, are participating in giving financially, it's actually dropped back a little. So it was 87%, you know, in 2005. It's dropped back to about 81%. But what we're finding is that those who are giving, those 81%, are actually giving more. But we are concerned about that drop back there. But we found kind of a little bit the opposite with volunteering. We found that that had gone up just a tad in that 10 years. So in 2005, 41% of us volunteered, adult Australians. And in 2016, it was 43.7%. So it's gone up a little. And the hours we're volunteering have gone up a little, 932 million in total, over 836 million 10 years ago. But the average is about the same, 134 on average these days, 132 10 years ago. So you can see that, you know, volunteering got that slightly positive kind of feel to it in terms of growth. Giving still good in terms of dollars, although obviously could be more, every community organisation would say, but they would be right. But that flatlining potentially of giving participation over time is a concern.
What about the volunteering? Do you have any ideas about why we might have seen a mild uptick in how many people are volunteering?
Well, do you know, Nick, I think that part of that comes back to how we probed with people, because what we find is that a lot of us don't think about a lot of the community things that we do as volunteering. So we spend a bit of time with people just asking them about particular activities. And of course, they said, oh, okay, so on that committee, oh, that's volunteering, is it? Or doing that at school with the kids, that's volunteering, really, you know, or at the church. I don't sort of think of that as volunteering. So I think when you really probe with people and they understand what they're doing with their time, I think that that's certainly in our figures contributed to that realisation for people that's actually volunteering.
So that's a very interesting one, that it's maybe more around the awareness of volunteering.
I think
in the last 10 years, what's interested me is the sharp rise of corporate social responsibility. Have we seen a change in the way businesses interact with charities?
Well, I guess that was also for us probably one of the surprise packages in the research. So 10 years ago, you know, there was a goodly amount coming from businesses, but totally now it's $17.5 billion, and that includes $6.2 billion in straight donations, $7.7 billion in the big growth area, which is community partnerships. And that's mainly from large business rather than your small or medium business. And then $3.6 billion in what we call non-commercial sponsorships. So in other words, taking that table at the gala dinner or whatever, which doesn't have a huge bang for buck for businesses, but is part of their, you know, doing something for a good cause that they're associated with in some way. So I guess, and what we were hearing very much, we did lots of interviews with the CEOs and chairs of boards of our big companies and our small and medium ones too, and it's really a consciousness of this being part of doing business, you know, that there is a permission to be part of a community, and because there are skills within business and there are, you know, there's the profits within business to attack some of our wicked problems, there's a real attitude that this is today a part of doing business.
So not a cynicism around it, but really an acceptance that this is a way that a responsible company interacts with the society around it.
Yes, and I think, you know, it's always healthy to have scepticism, but I think that the figures are telling us that there's a real commitment to this. You know, an example would be, you know, workplace giving. So of the those businesses that reported that they gave in the last financial year, 85% of them facilitated payroll giving, so where employees can make that regular donation from your pay, that little bit each fortnight or whatever, from their pre-tax pay, and there's a tax advantage to doing that. And 56% of the businesses actually matched that giving. So I think, you know, that's a real aspect of it as well, encouraging their various resources, including employees, to do things. And actually 46%, nearly half of them, had a formal workplace volunteering program. So that's very valuable as well, because giving takes many forms.
Many, many. Look, on an individual level, how are we giving? Are we spontaneously being approached on the street, or are we planning out where we want our money to go?
Well, I guess that we are finding, we found in our survey, we actually asked people, well, are you spontaneous? Are you spur of the moment in your giving? Or do you think about it a little? Do you sort of think, well, this is what I'd like to give across the year, or this is where I'd like to give to, or how I'd like to give? And what we found is that whilst there are more people who give spontaneously, there's actually a benefit to being a planner giver, because you're likely to give six times as much as a spontaneous giver.
Six times?
So people who are really into giving, you know, and families who are really into giving. So, Nick, what we were hearing is people, for instance, sitting down with the kids at Christmas, you know, at the beginning of the year, and saying, well, what would we like to do as a family? Who are we, and what would we like to do with our, whatever it might be? It might be $100, might be $500, might be more, you know, and just, I guess, also teaching kids those values of community. So that was really heartening to see that sort of thing, that a kind of considered, reflective giving, and people really enjoying that. Really, you know, as we said, for businesses, it's part of how they do businesses, and for individuals who plan their giving, it's really a part of who they are.
What about, would you extrapolate any future predictions from this particular study, how you think we might be in another few years' time?
Oh, golly. I think that we found lots of elements for the future. So I guess we found, for instance, with non-profits that they are, you know, thinking about that intergenerational wealth transfer, the fact that we've had, you know, society where often both mum and dad have worked now for quite a period of time. And so for some Australian households, there will be that extra amount that will pass to the next generation, or property values have gone up so much that there will be that transfer, and you mentioned included Charity Week. So I think there's a greater capacity for people to give a little something once they've looked after their family to their charity and continue writing the story of their life, you know, with their last chapter being something that that says, well, this is important and this is who I am and this is what I'd like to see our family continue supporting, and I'm going to put a little percentage or a piece of jewellery or whatever, a few chairs, you know, and still look after the family and friends. So I think we did hear that, you know, quite strongly, that there's a greater interest in those gifts in wills and that, you know, really defining people's life story. I guess the other things that we would be concerned about is this trend of fewer givers. So we know that there's a lot of families out there doing it very tough. And, of course, that doesn't mean to say that they're not out there volunteering and giving their time. There's a lot of people who have a strong community commitment but just can't afford to give financially. So I guess we see that spirit of generosity and the in-kind giving, you know, people finding ways across the spectrum. Maybe they're giving their advice. With businesses, you know, we see this trend of experteering, I would call it. So in other words, being able to, if you're a lawyer, you know, be able to have a look at that contract for a charity during a lunch hour, you know, micro-volunteering, people giving an hour of their time, because we seem to fill our days so much these days. And I think that habit of giving is the other thing that we see, an increasing amount of people thinking about the regularity of their giving and the habit of giving. So maybe signing up for you know, that monthly pledge to the charity, or a little bit from the bank account or from the pay each month, and just making giving an ongoing habit, which of course is very important for charities because it means predictable income to be able to deliver the services that they do.